So we have entered into the Lenten season, which is marked as a 40-day, or at the 40 days prior to Easter. The significance of these 40 days is to symbolize Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. It is meant to be a time of reflection, study, repentance, fasting, and praying. A time where we set aside our creature comforts, slow our pace, and seek God in ways that we may never have before. And hopefully, this is not just an exercise that we go through or just some religious observance, but it becomes a time of transformation. Hopefully, it is our goal to know God in a deeper way, to gain a greater understanding of what it means to be confronted, to be conformed into the image and likeness of Christ. That's God's goal, right? That is what Paul stated in Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, shares with us that we were created to become like Christ. God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. He wants us to grow up spiritually and become like Christ. He also shared that we were made for a mission. One of my most favorite scriptures that I believe that foretells our destiny and God's plan for us is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and it says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Work, right? Things that were created in advance for us to do. Being transformed into the image and likeness of Christ. All of that takes action, right? That we have to do something. We have to participate in it. And that's what this Lenten season is about. Each and every time, each and every year that we go through the Lenten season, we should be seeking to be greater, to walk with Christ, to be, have a closer walk with Christ, and to for people to see that Christ lives in us. And so that is my hope as we look at the scripture on today, is to think about if Lent is a symbol of the 40-day journey that Jesus took in the wilderness, then what is it that Jesus would be telling us? What are the lessons that Jesus would share with us that would help us in our times of wilderness? We're all familiar. We may not. We, of course, no one can really talk about what happened in the wilderness with Jesus because nobody else was there, right? But we do know what wilderness feels like, right? We have our own wilderness journeys. We think that we are going through life just as Jesus was. If we go, and let me paint the picture for you, is before we get to the leading into the wilderness, we have in chapter 3, at the end of chapter 3 in Matthew's gospel, he says, and Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out into the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. Forgive me, I'm not sure why I'm going in and out. But he said, in whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine this moment? You ever been in a time where you felt just the awe of God surrounding you? God being able to look at your actions, look at your life, and say, this is my daughter. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit showed up as a dove and lighted on Jesus. What a powerful moment. I can only imagine that this was to be identified as the Son of God and to know that God is well pleased. But then we get to chapter 4, and almost immediately it says that he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that how our life goes sometimes? We feel like we are moving in God's will. We're doing what God wants us to do. And then all of a sudden, wilderness shows up. We lose a job. We may encounter marital problems. We may be in school and they tell us that there's something more we got to do to graduate. We may be just going along on our jobs thinking we're doing the greatest work ever. The evaluation comes back and says, just meeting expectations. Or we get a pink slip. We're laid off. There's so much that is going on in our world today that we would feel like we are in the wilderness and we're having a wilderness moment. And so again, I want us to be able to think about that, because when we read the passage, it just tells us that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan. And then it jumps to the temptations that Satan brings before him. Now, we know that there was a lot that probably transpired before then, right? It said it was 40 days that he was in the wilderness, 40 days that he fasted, 40 days in which he didn't eat, he was hungry. And so that's where I want to rest and think about what really could have happened in those 40 days. What happens for us in our 40 days, in our times of wilderness? Well, I believe that the first thing that Jesus would tell us, that Jesus would whisper in our ears, saying that our wilderness experience is a time of preparation. I think Jesus would tell us, prepare yourself. And you might be saying, prepare myself for what? Jesus was probably saying that too. Prepare myself for what? But he knew. Jesus' whole life had been about this time. He knew it. The world didn't know it. But he knew it. And he knew about being in the wilderness or going through a place of isolation. When he was 12 years old, he left his parents and all the people. And when they found him, he was in the temple. And what did he say? Didn't you know that I would be about my Father's business? So Jesus knew that things were going to happen. And we also know, because Jesus is God, he really knew what was about to happen. But he used this time, I believe, as a time of preparation. When he was led into the wilderness, he, not like us, of course, didn't have anything that he could take with him. But what do we have? When we go through our wilderness experience, and as Jesus tells us that this is a time to prepare, we have tools, right? And for us to think about, how do we prepare ourselves? How do we get equipped for our journey? How do we walk with God in our preparation to go forth and change the world? We've got our Bibles. We're able to come to church. We're able to do Sunday school. We're able now to take these wonderful handy tools we got, and we can just put anything in and find out and develop and prepare ourselves. And so when we think about what should be happening during this 40-day walk, during this 40-day what may seem to some would be a wilderness experience, we know that we need to prepare ourselves. We are in a time where evil is abounding. We can just look around ourselves. You know, as Reverend Teresa just talked about what happened at the high school. There is so much happening in our world, and we have got to take this time to prepare ourselves. The next thing I think that Jesus would have told us is that this wilderness experience, any wilderness experience that we go through, is a season of fortification. It's like every time we read, and I know I read the Bible, I see something different. And what jumped out for me in this scripture is when it says in verse 1 that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan. And I just want to show you something. Molly, just because I know your name and I know you're young, could you run up here for a minute, please? In the passage, it said, let me take my hand. It says that he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. There's nowhere in any of the gospel passages that it says that the Holy Spirit let go of his hand. Said that he was led, he walked, he was in there for 40 days. And can you imagine what that would be like? Just as Molly just looked at me, to be looking and walking with the Holy Spirit, even though we're in the wilderness. Thank you. And so when I think about how we are fortified in that, as we're able to, one of the things that we need to do when we are in the wilderness is to know that God is there. The Holy Spirit is with us. And Jesus, I imagine that he just held on to God's hand, just as we sing in that hymn, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. That as he was in the wilderness, and though he was fasting and praying, he knew that the Holy Spirit was with him. Another image that came to my mind when I read that was the image that we think of in Psalm 91, where it says that he or she who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty, they will rest, will dwell in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. They will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. And I think about the wilderness, you know, you see trees and everything. And all I imagine is I see Jesus sitting under a tree. And just as the Holy Spirit was walking with him, the Holy Spirit is just around him. Just in the trees, in the leaves, under the limbs, that he's dwelling. He was dwelling in the Most High. And that's what we need to do when we're in our wilderness experiences. Understand and know that God is there and God is covering us. And all we have to do is be still. To be still and know that he is God. To be still and listen for that still small voice. As Jesus whispers to us that it's a season of preparation. As Jesus whispers and said it's a period of fortification. He lastly whispers and says that it's a season of execution. That is where we most focus when we read this passage. We get to the point where the tempter comes and Satan is there. There are other of the gospel messages that talk about, you know, Satan tempting him along the way. In Matthew, it says that after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights that the tempter came. And Jesus, because he already knew that this was this period and time of preparation, he knew Satan was coming. He knew that he was coming after him. He had already sat and he fortified himself in the word, just as he did when he was a child and they found him in the temple. He took that time, and now when the tempter came, when Satan came, he was able to say, in essence, get behind me, Satan. You know, you can't deter me from my path. You can't tempt me with anything that you have. You can't tempt me because I already have it in Christ. When the first temptation said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus was like, come on, really? He said, you know, man does not live on bread alone. I am the Son of God. And so I know that it is not anything else in this world that I need to sustain me. Even though he was hungry, even though he probably hadn't drank a lot, he was like, I am sustained just by the word of God. The second temptation, when he talked about, took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Again, I could just see Jesus laughing and say, it is also written, Satan, since you think you know everything, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He's like, I don't have to tempt or test God. You can take me to the holy. I am the Son of God. I own everything already. There isn't anything. Can we say that to Satan when Satan comes after us and comes after our possessions and our things? Can we say, it's all right, I'm good, because God's got me. There's nothing that you can come or take away from me, because God's got me. That was Jesus was saying to Satan. And the last thing, he's like, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the splendor. All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Again, Jesus was like, you're going to have to come better than that. He said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. These are the things that happen for us when we can get into a season of execution, when we have taken time to prepare ourselves, that we would enter into church, that we would come to Bible study, that we would find other times and moments to prepare ourselves, because Satan, as we know, is real. Satan is living in the world and is coming after us. And so we need to make sure that we prepare and are fortified just as Jesus did. And when we have the opportunity to execute, because we will have an opportunity to execute, we will have an opportunity to say to this world, no, I belong to God. And so there isn't anything that you can come at me with, because I am a child of the Most High. I wanted to share, when we think about our times of wilderness season, as you heard in my bio, I'm a hospice chaplain. And so I get the opportunity to walk with people every day in one of the darkest moments of their lives, in one of the darkest seasons of their lives. And so I was with this gentleman the other day. And he doesn't talk much, to hear our nurses say. He doesn't talk much, but I was there, and we were talking, and his wife in my first visit had told me his favorite song. And I had played it then, and then I was there, and so I played it again for him. And the name of the song is The Anchor Still Holds. Anchor Still Holds. And if you have an opportunity, please go to YouTube, anywhere, get your music and listen. But it's by Ray Bowles, B-O-L-Z. And I just want to share some of the words of the song. It says, I have journeyed through the long dark night out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions, I've had dreams, I've even held them in my hand, but I never knew they would slip right through like only grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sail are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. That is what wilderness is like. Tossed and battered, dark and cold. But this song and the patient, after I played it, and we were just there sitting, and he just looked and he said to me, "How can anybody be drawn to the words of this song?" And then he looked at me and he said, "This is what you need when real life shows up. The anchor still holds. Even though the sails are torn, the anchor holds in spite of the storm." Lent, a symbol of the 40-day journey that Jesus took before he began his public ministry. Lenten observance that we are in is a time where we walk with Jesus and remember that journey. Today, I share before you that this wilderness walker, Jesus, I believe would say, take the time, prepare yourselves, take the time and be fortified. Know that God is near, will never leave nor forsake us. And then when the time is right, Jesus would whisper to us, execute the word of God for the people of God.